Hello and welcome to Simply Save, our weekly personal finance podcast at Money Control, where we discuss all things money. Now, just when we thought that home loans couldn't go down any further, we saw another round of home loan cuts and waiving of processing fees in the first week of March. It all started with State Bank of India reducing its interest rates on housing loans on March 1st from 6.8% to 6.7% for home loans up to rupees 75 lakh. Also, SBI waived off its processing fees. Now, bear in mind that many of these offers are available only till March 31st. Kotak Mahindra Bank, another example of a bank reducing its home loans, reduced its lowest home loan rates, which was already its lowest, which was at 6.75/. It's not the only SOP that was available to our buyers. The Maharashtra government also a 1% concession on stamp duty rates for women home buyers. Some states, including Maharashtra and Karnataka, had already slashed stamp duties till 31st of March 2021 to encourage housing sales. So there you have it. There are all sorts of signals to go and buy your dream home and avail of that attractive housing loan. But should you actually buy a house now because of all these factors? And what are the nitty-gritties that you need to be aware of while taking a home loan? My colleague Preeti Kulkarni and I will discuss these important questions for you today on our podcast. Preeti, hi. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Kesar. Thanks a lot.
So, Preeti, tell me, I'm going to ask this question up front. Is this the right time to buy a house? All your interest rates are going down. The state governments have slashed stamp duty rates. Is this the right time to buy a house?
See, if you're buying the house for self-use, if you intend to stay there, then definitely yes. So, for example, if you were planning to buy a house, say, a year down the line or 2 years down the line, you could look at advancing your decision. Especially now that work from home is here to stay for many employees. Many companies have already said that work from home is going to be permanent for many, for a section of their employees.
True.
So, fall in that category, then this is indeed the right time to buy a house. But I would say that interest rate should not be the sole factor influencing this decision of yours. Your requirement and your affordability obviously matter the most. And also you have to remember that most retail home loans today are floating rate loans, and which means that interest rates can fluctuate. So today interest rates are really low, but they will start going up in future. I mean, that is quite obvious. So you need to be financially and mentally prepared for an increase in EMIs in future. See, for example, some industry players have already said that they do not see rates going down any further. So the only way is up. So you need to be aware that the current EMI that you might be paying is bound to go up. You may not be able to afford a higher EMI in future.
So the lower rates and the lower EMIs, as you're saying, is valid for today. Hmm. But, you know, if we listen to the signals, if we read the macroeconomic signals everywhere, they're saying that, you know, interest rates might go up. If that happens, then even your current low home loan rates also would go up, and thereby your EMIs also.
Correct. Or your tenure could get extended. Not a great thing, because that means that your interest burden is going to go up. What you should remember is that while taking a call on buying a house and deciding whether you can afford it or not, what you have to remember is that at any point in time, your total EMI should not exceed 50% of your take-home salary.
Okay. I think that's a good suggestion, because, you know, you also have to bear in mind your other expenses that you do every month.
Right.
And, you know, corona, COVID infections are still not gone, right?
Correct.
We're looking at a second wave. We're looking at a third wave. And as you rightly said in the beginning, work from home has become the new normal. And, you know, by the looks of things, even 2021 are also looking to be quite a washout if we go at this pace of infections. So we need to be aware of all the job loss, the income loss dangers have still not gone. So you don't need to, your EMI shouldn't take up your entire monthly salary.
Yeah. And you should, when you take a home loan, you should set aside at least 6 months of your household expenses, including EMIs, aside in an emergency fund, in a liquid fund or a fixed deposit. So that even if things go wrong, you end up facing a pay cut or a job loss, then you can still take care of your EMIs for the next 6 months at least.
Okay. So 6 months of 6 months of living expenses should be set aside before you take a housing loan. You were saying that your housing loans are linked, they're floating rates, so they're linked to an external benchmark. That means when interest rates go up, if and when they go up, your EMIs would also go up, or your tenures would increase. Right. And you also said a third thing to bear in mind, Preeti, apart from these two things.
Yeah. So as we know, since October 2019, all retail floating rate loans are linked to an external benchmark rate.
Correct.
Now,
Correct.
most banks have, in case of most banks, this is the repo rate. There are
Correct.
some banks like Citi that have chosen treasury bills, but otherwise, largely all banks have chosen repo rate as their benchmark, as their external benchmark.
Okay.
So what this means is that if the repo rate is cut, as we saw in March and May 2020, when RBI cumulatively reduced repo rate by 115 basis points, then banks will have to pass on the entire benefit to borrowers because it is linked to repo rate. And likewise, of course, if the RBI decides to increase repo rate, then your home loan rate will also go up in the same proportion.
So you need to keep that in mind also, because these current home loan rates, as you are saying, they could benefit you in the initial months, but when the interest rates go up, the rates would also go up.
And that apart from repo rate, what you also have to factor in is the credit risk premium. Now, banks are allowed to charge a credit risk premium.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a spread over their external benchmark rate. And this is where your credit score comes into the picture. Now, for example, we spoke about SBI's interest rate. So SBI's best rate of 6.7% that you mentioned is applicable to salaried home loan borrowers with a CIBIL credit score of over 800. And CIBIL, of course, is one of the four credit information companies in India. But if your credit score is lower, CIBIL's credit score is lower, that is between 751 and 800, then your interest rate will be 10 basis points more. So 6.8. So, and again, non-salaried individuals will also have to pay 10 basis points more.
Correct.
And for higher loan amounts between 75 lakh and 5 crore, the lowest rate charged for most creditworthy borrowers is 6.75%. So there are various factors. So credit risk premium has become a very important factor ever since the external benchmarking regime came into force in October 2019.
So you're saying that credit risk, you have to also keep a mind on your, keep a check on your credit score also, because that also dictates how much interest rate on your home loan that you get, right?
Yes. So if your credit score is over 800, that means that you are highly credit worthy. The bank believes that you will pay your EMIs on time and you will not miss EMIs and so on. And also overall, your credit behavior is favorable. You are a disciplined borrower. So they won't mind lending to you at lower rates. Effectively, that is what it means. And your home loan contract will also contain a clause that says that credit risk premium could change if if your credit score deteriorates. So, so for example, in SBI's example, if your credit score is over 800, you're paying 6.7%. But if it drops below 800, you might have to pay 10 basis points more, 6.8%. So of course, all this will depend on the terms of contract. But conceptually, this is how it works.
But so Preeti, tell me, if you have a certain credit score and if you get a benefit of that credit score with a lower interest rate on a home loan, and suppose a home loan obviously goes up to 10, 20 years, it's a long-term contract. Suppose in the middle, your credit score deteriorates. And deteriorates sharply. Do you think that they will revise the interest rate?
Yes,
because it's floating now.
They can do that.
You know, you talked about external benchmark rates. I mean, that's a very transparent thing that RBI has mandated for the banks, because, you know, they've been getting complaints, as you know, that, you know, the banks are not passing on the benefits of lower interest rates to consumers. So, of course, now this external benchmark rate system has come. Housing finance companies, do they also pass these benefits to the customers?
See, they are not bound to follow this external benchmark regime, because that is applicable to banks.
It's only applicable to banks.
So what this means is that the benefits of a rate cut, for example, after RBI's policy rate reduction, will not be automatically passed on to them on the next review, as banks do. So that part is correct. But, you know, the fact is that these housing finance companies are also ultimately competing with banks. And they know that borrowers can switch without having to pay any prepayment or foreclosure charges. So they will be forced to offer comparable rates, either to attract new borrowers and also to retain the existing ones.
So, you know, we've discussed options for new home buyers, Preeti. What about those people who've already taken home loans? I mean, what can they do to get the benefit of these banks reducing home loan interest rates?
Yeah. So again, as we just discussed, in case of HFCs, what if they don't reduce rates? If they don't reduce rates, you have the option to switch to another lender. And that is between that can even a bank borrower can do that, can switch over to any other bank or any other housing finance company.
So
if the difference, for example, if the difference between existing rates, your existing home loan rate and the rates that are being offered by other banks and housing finance companies in the market is at least 50 basis points, you should definitely switch and you should transfer your loan to another lender. And you, of course, you know that we've pointed this out multiple times in our story.
Yes, yes.
Let's suppose you have taken a home loan of 75 lakh and the original tenure is 20 years and now, and you have paid 3 years, you have paid EMIs for 3 years and your current interest rate is 8% per annum.
Okay.
And if you decide to switch to another lender who's offering an interest rate of 7.5%, you, on one hand, you will save interest burden of 8.15 lakh over the balance tenure of 17 years, and which means that you will be knocking off 13 EMIs off your schedule.
Okay. So that it makes sense. But as you said, that that's savings for you. But as you say, it has to be really worth the effort. I mean, so 50 basis points is the difference that people need to be looking at.
Yes. So before you finally decide to switch, you should negotiate with your existing lender, because even if you decide to move to another lender, there'll be documentation involved. So instead of that, it makes more sense to first negotiate with your lender and tell them that you intend to switch because the rates are not working out for you and they're too expensive. And there are chances that the existing lender will reduce rate and will match the rates that are being offered by other banks and lenders.
And that makes sense, no? Because if you have a relationship with one bank entity, may as well continue with that bank if that bank is willing to, you know, meet you halfway and reduce it, rather than you having to do all the paperwork, which is what I was going to ask you. My next question is, how exactly to shift from one bank to another if you have to? What is the paperwork? What is the documentation? Does it, how many days does it take? Like, is it a very quick process? Is it a very drawn out process? What happens?
It depends on each bank and housing finance company, but balance transfer processes can be quicker. Because one bank or one lender has already completed that process, that valuation process and other things for you. So it will be relatively simpler. So you will have to first approach the new bank and inquire about the process and produce your income documents, get your loan eligibility, and then make that shift. Then go back to your existing lender and then the transfer will happen.
Okay. Thank you so much, Preeti, for your valuable insights. I'm sure our listeners would have learned a lot about falling interest rates, a good time or a bad time to buy a home, and you know how to put this to their advantage, and should they actually, what if, and also, you know, if you have already taken a home loan, most importantly, can you still benefit from the falling home loan interest rates elsewhere? So thanks much, Preeti, for your insights.
Thanks a lot, Kazan. Thanks a lot.
And folks, that's all we have for today's podcast. For more news, views and analysis, please log on to moneycontrol.com and keep listening to Simply Safe podcast. Thank you.